Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steven Steigman. Steve Kraske is headed back from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's Friday, which means it's time for entertainment, and here's Kansas City's own Karen Allison.
Turn out the stars. Turn out the stars. Let eternal darkness hide me. If I can't have you beside me, put out their fires. Their endless splendor only reminds me of your tenderness. Stop the ocean's roar. Don't let the rivers run. Let me hear no wondrous music of a skylark in the sun. Let it be done. Turn out the stars, turn out the stars, shut off their light. Stop every comet in its magic lonely.
Karen Allison is in town this weekend to perform at the Prairie Village Jazz Festival, and she joins us in our studios this morning. Karen Allison, welcome back to Up to Date. Well, like so many jazz vocalists, you have a foundation in classical music. When you were studying piano at the University of Nebraska, did you ever think you'd end up on the classical piano circuit, or was singing your hope?
When I started to study classical piano seriously in college, I really thought that was my path. And I love it very much still. But when I discovered jazz, and well, not jazz specifically later, of course, but singer-songwriter stuff, which I'd go out and get the sheet music mm-hmm. to, Carly Simon, Joni Mitchell, all those beautiful songwriters, and play them and sing them for friends or whatever, and they would encourage me. And so then I started to go out and try out for things like that. And mm-hmm. That's kind of how it began.
But you were a piano major. You minored in French. What did you? I just as a music major myself, I have to ask, who did not end up going on studying mm-hmm. trombone for a living? Mm-hmm. What did your professors think of you when you said, you know what, I don't want to spend my time playing Beethoven and Bach, and I'd rather do this?
Yeah, it's funny because as I was getting the degree at the University of Nebraska at Omaha on the weekends, I was in a rock and roll band, an all-girls rock and roll band called Tomboy, and also doing other things too, piano bar situations where I would I'd had to learn a lot of tunes because I'd be sitting there for 4 or 5 hours mm-hmm. by myself. And so making, a little bit of a living on the side doing these other things while I'm studying Bach, Beethoven, Chopin. Mm-hmm. They were pretty cool about it. I had a couple teachers thumb their noses at me, but that's okay.
How about now? Have you gone back to visit them?
I am actually an esteemed alum.
Wow. There's your answer.
That's
right?
Kind of crazy, isn't it? That's a little scary. at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. No, I'm happy to be involved with them still. I've done concerts there, and I'm happy to still be connected.
Well, you spent a number of your formative years in the San Francisco area. How did artists like Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington influence you during those years?
You know, I really didn't listen to those wonderful people until college. So it was after I graduated from high school in Oakland, California. I just went there for 1 year, but mm-hmm. I did spend lots of years because my mom had spent a lot of time in the Bay Area, and then I moved back to Omaha. But I have a very eclectic background, as a lot of musicians do, and I think it shows itself in our music.
Mm-hmm. A few months ago, we had mezzo-soprano Joyce DiDonato on our program, and she shares an experience similar to yours in that she didn't come to her musical genre until college, mm-hmm. which is when you were introduced to jazz, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it about jazz that made you happy?
There's so much about it. I feel it encompasses everything that is important in music to me. First of all, of course, there's the improvisational mm-hmm. aspect of it, which is, you know, always searching, always changing, very challenging. And then there's, of course, the time, the rhythm is so important, the intelligence, the humor, the interaction with the players. It's chamber music, really, mm-hmm. the highest order. And that. Last night I was able to go hear Pat Metheny, and that was a very beautiful experience, of course. That was a great example of that in action. As, you know, I try and do with our concerts, it's with my players, it's pretty interactive.
Who's the band leader? I mean, you're up there, you're the star, you're the singer. During rehearsals and during performances, who's keeping everybody in time? Obviously, you know, bassist job or drummer's job, but who's leading your group?
I am. Uh-huh. Yep. I am a band leader. I am the band leader of my group. Now, that's not to say, you know, I don't depend very, very much on my wonderful players, their suggestions and their professionalism and their. I've learned so much from lots of folks in Kansas City. I spent many formative years here. People mm-hmm. like Bob Bowman, Paul Smith, Danny Embry, Rod Fleeman, Gerald Spates, Todd Strait, Stan Kessler, Kim Park, Tommy Ruskin, Julie Turner. The list goes on and on. Russ Long, Milt Abel, so many. And then, more current folks, too. But they follow me, and I'm glad that they do, because we're looking for
that
well
is
first
a good
of
thing,
all
right?
I, you know, I pay them, but it's important for it to be as one of an organism as possible, and you need to have the one person leading the way, mm-hmm. and ultimately, you know, ideally it's that everybody gets to shine. But there's one main idea going on.
Now, you play with a quartet?
This time it's going to be a quintet at Prairie Village. Mm-hmm. I have the wonderful Bob Shepherd joining us, and he's featured on the latest CD, Round Midnight, as is Rod Fleeman. Mm-hmm. And then on this performance, I also have wonderful Gerald Spates mm-hmm. and Todd Strait on drums, and I'm playing piano.
Ah, you got a great, great, great group there. Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to another track. Let me back announce that last track we listened to, Turn Out the Stars. I was just, after a very long week, I was nice and relaxed and really, thank you for letting us play that one. Let's talk about, before we play, let's talk about your next track here, April Come She Will. Tell mm-hmm. me about the song.
April is... Well, first of all, the Turn Out the Stars is a Bill Evans tune with beautiful Gene Lee's lyrics. And the second tune we're playing is April Come She Will, as you said, and this is a Paul Simon song. And when I was talking about who I was influenced by, I neglected to mention Simon and Garfunkel. I loved them. My parents loved them. I still do, of course. And he's always doing innovative things, but this is one of their, I think, Paul Simon's most beautiful tunes.
Karen Allison and April Come She Will.
Restless streets, she'll prowl the night. winds grow chilly and cold. September I'll remember a love once knew has now grown old.
That tune, April Come She Will, was your fourth Grammy nomination.
The CD itself.
CD itself,
yes,
okay.
Right. Round Midnight is what it's called. And yeah, that was my fourth. It was exciting. I went in February and took my mom and my sister.
Uh-huh.
It was really fun.
Who are you up against?
Oh,
I'm
going to
claim ignorance.
To go there?
No. Some other people who weren't as good.
No. They were all great. And no, I'm happy to say it was Rosanna Vitro. It was Kurt Elling. It was, oh my goodness. Now,
the no, you don't have
young
to.
Lady who won
what's
is
it,
the
what's
great
it like
drummer.
Being, well, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. What's it like being around folks of that of such caliber like you? Are you really competitive with each other when it comes to awards like that, or are you just kind of proud of each other for winning?
Well, I think
let me be honest here.
Yeah. Well, of course, everyone wants to have be a winner,
right?
You know, there's no doubt. But I do feel a real camaraderie. You know, when we get together at these celebrations, especially before, because everything's possible by then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really no small feat to have been nominated four times, and people are really pulling for you, and you can feel that energy, and it's a real honor to be. Just among them, truly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fun experience.
It is. I mean, it's a spectacle.
Yeah.
The Grammys are a real spectacle, and you know, for me as a jazz musician, it's such a small part of the whole scene there that I'm just kind of dumbfounded by the rest of it. But it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It is fun.
Well, when most musicians perform around the globe, music is their international language. When you do it or when you record a song in another language, you sing it with great accent accuracy. Where does that talent come from?
Well, desire, I guess. I've always felt an affinity toward other languages. You mentioned my French minor. I always just loved the language very much. I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And likewise with music, it's nice that I remember back when I was going to college, mm-hmm. I was able to explore it. I didn't know that I was going to end up doing this for
mm-hmm.
a living. But it turns out I'm able to obviously use what I've studied and I'm very fortunate to do what I love for a living.
Is there a particular language that you think it sounds more beautiful when sung or a language that you just would rather sing in than English?
Portuguese, probably.
Really?
Yeah, Brazilian Portuguese,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's just, I wouldn't say it almost sings itself because it's very challenging for a
sure.
gringa like me, but, you know, the Brazilians have given us the most beautiful gift of their rhythms and their harmonies mm-hmm. and their melodies and their lyrics and their soul.
Mm-hmm. You moved to New York City in the 1990s. Did it help your career?
Oh, most definitely. It's you're kind of where all the action is. Well, you're not kind of. You are where the action
right.
is. And you can go elsewhere, too. I do believe, you know, you can do almost anything, especially now, from anywhere, you know. But it's, I think, important to have a New York experience. I'm glad I didn't do it earlier on in my career. I'm glad I had some real professional experience under my belt before mm-hmm. we moved there, Bill McLaughlin and
mm-hmm.
myself. So,
speaking of Bill, mm-hmm. What's he up to these days?
Bill is thriving. He just, as we're speaking, just finished a piece, a commission that is being performed at the end of September for the Las Cruces Orchestra. So it was a big orchestral piece.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Exploring Music with Bill McLaughlin from FMT in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which is being played on many, many, many stations. Of course, he was the host of the beautiful show St. Paul Sunday. He's doing... we do some orchestral stuff together, which is fun, but he's got all kinds of projects going on.
Well, I wouldn't be doing Steve Kraske's job if I didn't ask the question, what's the short-term and long-term future of jazz?
Let me look into my crystal ball.
Yeah.
you know, I never know how to answer that question. I should put some real thought into it. But I believe it's going to be fine. It's the record business and the, you know, businesses in general are going through big changes. Mm-hmm. But the music is thriving. There are, well, look at the schools turning out all these students, for goodness sake.
True.
Now we hope they have some place to play once they get out. But
lots of talent,
yeah,
and a lot of venues.
Exactly. So we need more venues always, mm-hmm. Good venues. And but this music is so important that it can't not succeed in the long run.
Well, and perhaps you're insulated from this in New York, but maybe perhaps not. Do you think jazz is drawing the same crowds it did 20, 25 years ago?
I don't know. It depends on – maybe not in the smaller venues. You know, I'm not playing, let me just put it in this way, joints anymore, which I, you know, loved. I learned so much in that environment. I don't think people have as much extra money to spend, mm-hmm. or maybe, I don't know. It's a good question. I hope so. I think it needs more exposure. Jazz is a very well-kept secret, and I think the perception of jazz is that it's very heady and very, you know, hard to understand, and, mm-hmm. but it isn't. And if you just allow it to, kind of sweep into your body and soul, and especially going out to hear live music and watching it is really a great experience, and you get so much out of it.
Well, in addition to performing jazz, do you do anything to try to promote its cause? Do you, any mm-hmm. education stuff? Tell me.
Yeah, I do a lot of master classes. I'm doing a little more teaching privately when I can, when I'm in town, but I have done fundraisers. I believe in using our talents to promote the goodness in the world, and I do that whenever I can. You mentioned UNO, and I've done fundraisers. When there was the big crash, a certain company took all their pianos out of the UNO music department. So I wrote to the chair, and I said, let's do a fundraiser to raise money for piano, mm-hmm. for getting pianos. I mean, that's criminal.
Yeah.
You know, not to have pianos in the... Anyway, so stuff like that. And not just about music, but about social issues I'm very interested in.
You're the final act at tomorrow night's Prairie Village Jazz Festival, and you're following a good friend of ours, mm-hmm. one Bobby Watson.
Bobby.
Who writes the music for this show. How do you put your set list together, and what's a good opener? You know, what do you stick in the middle of a set, and what do you cap your performances with?
That's a great question.
I'm not asking you to give me the set list for tomorrow night, but in general, what's the formula?
Well, you take the venue into consideration. You take your players into consideration. I mean, I don't always have a horn player. As I mentioned, Bob Shepard is going to be with us. If it's outdoors, which it will be tomorrow night, you think about those things. Now, it's not going to dictate – I'm not going to do a completely different set than I would in a indoor festival or a supper club venue.
Mm-hmm.
I do attempt to make it feel intimate no matter what the size or the scope of the place is. I definitely spend time in putting different sets together for certain events. And for example, if we're playing a five-nighter, which we often do in certain places, I never repeat. Well, if we're doing two sets a night, for example,
we
do different stuff all the time. It's not a show in that regard.
Okay.
It's a set of music that we like to present, and hopefully it works and it flows.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Stephen Steigman. We're talking with jazz vocalist Karin Allison, who performs tomorrow evening at the Prairie Village Jazz Festival. Karin, is there a particular performance or festival where you felt your career could take off or suffer based on what you programmed?
Whoa. Wow, that's an interesting question. I guess not. There are certain higher profile situations where you can consider that. But I really feel if you keep it real,
mm-hmm.
and then you really can't go wrong. If you're doing what you love and it's as organic for me as possible and heartfelt, that there's you're not going to, not everyone's going to love what you do, but hopefully the majority will get something out of it.
Your voice is your instrument. What happens when you're feeling a bit under the weather before a performance? Mm.
You get over it and you go around it. That's happened a lot. You know, it's as you said, I mean, I travel with it. Mm-hmm. I laugh with it. I cry with it.
You don't have to pay for a second seat on the airplane.
No, but it sure feels like it.
That we call ego. It's
No. That's right. That's right. You just get around it. And I don't know any secrets, really. But professional singers understand what I'm talking about, you know.
I mean, what do you do to care for your voice? Do you, you know, other than, I mean, I probably don't take care of my voice as well as I should.
I don't either.
What are some time-tested, you know, things you can do to keep your voice going?
Sleep and water.
Huh, simple as that.
Yeah, I really believe that. And not hurting it. If it hurts, don't do it. But, I mean, of course, we're in so many different sound situations and environments when you can't hear yourself and or whatever, or again, if you're not feeling at your best, so you're not singing above the thing. But mm-hmm. I really believe it's very basic, and keeping physically active. It is your body, it is your instrument, and it's kind of an athletic approach in a way, I feel.
Well, Karen Allison performs Saturday evening at the Prairie Village Jazz Festival. She takes the stage at 9:40 tomorrow night. For more information, visit our website, kcur.org. Karen Allison, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
I've loved talking with you. Thank you.
Let's go out with one of her tracks, Always Chasing Rainbows. And let's take a short break. When we return, we'll talk about flirting in the digital age. Come on, you know you want to listen. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm Steven Steigman in for Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.
Drifting by. My schemes are just like all my dreams, ending in the sky. Some people look and find the sunshine. I always look and find the rain. Some people